JNM After Midnight. All right, welcome back to another smooth, jazzy, and news-breaking episode of NJNM After Midnight. If you've never joined us before, we're in our favorite fictional Chinese restaurant in Los Angeles, California, right on the edge of Hollywood. I'm Tyler, and across the booth from me is none other than the founder of NotJustNewMovies.com and an editor at GeekTyrant.com, Ben Pearson. How you doing, Ben?
Hey, how's it going? The editor at GeekNation.com, actually. That's,
as well?
Well, actually, that's the only thing that I'm doing now. I was going to bring that up early on in this podcast, and you kind of led me right into it with a nice little transition there. But
yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, I've kind of accepted the position of senior editor at GeekNation.com, and that's like a full-time gig for me now. So that's like the only, you know, in past podcasts that we've done, there have been a myriad of places where people can find my work, and now it's going to be really easy. Just go to GeekNation.com, you can find it all there.
Thank God.
Yes.
So a Geek Tyrant alum, I would say, then.
Yeah, there you go.
You might be joining us from GeekTyrant.com, and we thank you for joining us. You have more of a history with them than I do.
Absolutely.
I played an awesome April Fool's joke using Geek Tyrant once that no one remembers. But that's about it. That's about the history with me. But you...
There's one podcast listener right now going, yes, I remember that.
That was the best joke ever. Yeah, we used to bring you the Not Just New Movies podcast, Ben, if you remember that.
I do, of course.
This is the new movie news-centered show, and then we also have the Fivecast.
Yep, brand new podcast.
Yeah, we tend to host, which not just movies, although we talk a lot about movies, not just movies, it's music, books, stage plays.
Random things.
Famous assassinations. Everything's discussed on the Fivecast podcast, as well as NJNM After Midnight. So with that news-centered ideal, Ben, what do you have this week? What's going on in Hollywood?
A few different news stories that I wanted to bring up, talk to you about.
Ready.
First of all, I don't know if you've heard about this. I don't know if you've been following news about the Expendables 3,
I follow Stallone on Twitter. Is that good enough?
There you go. Yeah. He pretty much, drops it all out there. Your boy, Jackie Chan, has joined the cast of Expendables 3. As well as Wesley Snipes and Nicolas Cage and the Fifth Element star Mia Jovovich. So
Jokovic.
Yeah, you got four new additions to an already bulging, I'm gonna say, cast for the Expendables 3.
Boom. So, steroid induced bulging.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's actually two Fifth Element people, Bruce Willis and Mila Jovovich.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even. Yeah.
Maybe it's a prequel. Crossover.
Man, a prequel all these years later. That's like some Fast and Furious franchise plotting right there.
Man, have you seen that yet?
Oh yeah, we'll talk about it in a little bit.
Isn't that a crossover? The Expendables with the Fast and Furious, like two teams.
Why isn't the Fast and Furious a crossover with every movie ever? That's what I want to know.
It's true.
Those guys should just be in the background of like Oscar bait dramas. Like they should just whiz by in cars and tanks in the background. Like
Toretto's like Dodge Charger blows by Lincoln's carriage to the fourth theater.
Yes, precisely. But I don't know. What do you think about the cast of Expendables 3? Is this what do you think about the Expendables movies as they are now, the first and second? And then do you care at all about the third one? Or are you kind of excited for it? What do you think?
I do. I like movies like that. I like the Expendables. Now, are they going to have everybody that has been in all of the movies up to this point in the third one?
I believe so. I know that Schwarzenegger is supposed to have a bigger role this time, you know, since he was still like, or I guess he was right off of his governor stint when Expendables Part 2 came out. So I believe he's going to have a larger role. Maybe Willis might have a bigger role this time around too.
I thought they had pretty big roles in the second one.
I mean it's definitely more than they did like the one scene in the first one, but I would still call them like an extended cameo, kind of same thing as Chuck Norris. Like he's around for like a scene.
Oh god, he was the worst.
I'm not sure about Chuck Norris if he's going to return for the third
lone wolf. he just dragged the movie down for whatever reason. Like, I think we've mythologized him sure. to be like this really awesome character, and then when he actually does it after like that tidal wave of mythologizing, I don't know how to read, Ben, by the way.
Yeah,
it's like, oh man, this guy is so bad at acting.
Yeah, it seemed like they just really wanted to capitalize on the whole, like, Chuck Norris facts kind of thing.
If they wanted to do anything, they shouldn't have given him any lines at all. Like, it should have just been, like, him shooting people, and then, like, they cut to him, and he, like, reloads a gun and then walks away. Like, he shouldn't have had any lines.
Yeah, that would have kept the badassery up there.
Yeah, so just Chuck Norris returns, no lines. Jackie Chan's awesome. Wesley Snipes, I guess if he's out of jail, that's fine.
Yeah.
Who was the Mila Jovovich? Who was the third person, she said?
Nick Cage.
Oh, yeah, Nick Cage. Yeah, I don't care if he's in it or not.
Really?
Yeah, he does his own thing. I don't think he needs to be in his... I think he's still, like, a movie guy.
Right.
Like, I don't think he needs to team up with these guys.
Exactly. That's why I find it a little bit interesting, is just because... Yeah, like, Nick Cage doesn't need it. I feel like all these other people need it to some degree. I mean, Jackie Chan, he's getting old, but he could do his own thing, like Chinese movies and stuff. But I think he's been doing that.
But damn it, man. I thought he retired from American movie making.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the Expendables is luring him back. And yeah, Wesley Snipes, I mean, obviously he needs something since he's been in jail for a little while. But
now, JCVD, spoiler alert, he can be brought back, right?
I don't remember. First of all, my feelings on The Expendables, I did not really care for the first one. I thought it was a giant disappointment, but I really liked the second one. I thought that Simon West, the director of that one, did a lot better job with it, and it was well done and actually fun, where the first one was, like, too dark and too serious, and Mickey Rourke was just, like... I don't know. It sounded like
he was like painting babushka dolls or something at one point.
Yeah, like in a dimly lit garage, like sitting on a motorcycle at all times. But anyway,
I would have cut myself Stallone.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting that Nicolas Cage is kind of joining forces with these guys.
Yeah, it should be good. I love Expendables. If you put the Expendables, attach the word Expendables to anything, I'll probably go see it.
All right, fair enough.
I just like to see these guys. In this new age, like I love seeing Stallone. I admire that he's trying to keep up with movies. Like he's not. I mean, even like what was the one Bullet to the Head or whatever it was called?
Yeah.
I never did see it, but I wanted to because I felt like it was something new, and I heard it was really bad anyway. But
yeah, it was awful.
I just like seeing Stallone and Schwarzenegger kind of. Try to adapt, but at the same time be exactly the same as they were like 20 years ago.
Right.
Bruce Willis, I think he's the easiest one to transition because he's been in movies for like regularly for the last 20 years or so.
Right. Yeah.
Stallone and Schwarzenegger, I felt like there was a gap in the last 10 years. Jackie Chan, I mean, he played Mr. Miyagi, but other than that, like Rush Hour. Was
yeah.
that his? And then Shanghai. They need a third Shanghai, you know, Shanghai Midnight or Shanghai Dawn or something.
And then they interact with Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy from the before.
You know what that is? Is this the third movie that's coming out?
Yes, I believe it's out in limited release maybe expanding right now. But
But the fourth movie, they're definitely going to steal After Midnight. I know it. So we need to get that .com ready so that when they come calling, they're going to pay a pretty penny to get that site off our hands.
There you go. All right. I like it.
Was it before sunset, after sunset? Now it's before midnight?
No, before sunrise, before sunset. And then
before midnight. Before sunrise would be at night. Before sunset would be during the day. And what's the third one called?
Before midnight.
I was right. That's what I said. That's what I asked. So
what?
The fourth movie is
going to
be called After Midnight.
No, you said Before Sunrise, After Sunset, which is actually a movie, by the way. There is a real movie called After Sunset, but it's awful, and it's not a part of... It's called After the Sunset.
Oh,
And
that
that's with Pierce Brosnan and Selma Hayek, but yeah, it's like
I think I have seen that.
2004 Brett Ratner movie, which is
Selma Hayek is. Ugh. You gonna watch that Grown Ups 2?
No, I'm not gonna watch Grown Ups 2.
That elk just pees all over Adam Sandler. It's hilarious.
I couldn't even bring myself to watch the trailer for it.
So. I've seen it like 5 times.
I'm so sorry.
Because I keep going to the movies and they keep playing it. It's like the big trailer, too, where it's at the end of all the other trailers.
Oh, God. That's their cap. That's yeah. their... Oh, man. All right, so let's move on to the next item
Expendables
here.
3.
Actually, it happens to be another thing about Expendables 3, but I figured it garnered a second conversation. Sweet. Mel Gibson is apparently being eyed to play the villain in Expendables 3.
That could work.
So,
one of these old Nazis that they have to hunt down.
I'm not sure what the plot is going to be, and, you know, like it matters anyway in an Expendables movie.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But it should be noted that Mel Gibson's already playing the villain in that totally insane-looking Machete sequel.
Machete Kills.
Yes.
I saw the poster for that last night.
Yep. So he's going to be the bad guy in that kind of ridiculous exploitation franchise. And then theoretically, if all pans out, he'll be the villain in the Expendables 3, which I guess, I mean, obviously Mel Gibson has had his public troubles.
He's been vilified in real life. So now it's time to vilify him in cinema.
Right. Yeah. And I think he probably can't get any other roles. Like, he's kind of box office poison at this point. I think... There was one period where he was going to play, like, he was going to have a cameo role in The Hangover Part 2, but because of the whole, like, anti-Semitic rant that he went on, like, Galifianakis and a bunch of other people in the cast were like, hell no, we can't, like, we're not cool with this at all. So they, like, brought him on officially and then had to, like, let him go because the cast, like, rebelled, basically.
Yeah, that's what happens when you say hateful things.
Right, yeah.
I mean, read a newspaper, Gibson.
I'm not apologizing for him in any way, but...
Wait, you can get fired for saying that stuff? Said
yeah,
Gibson
and then
every
he was
day.
He was in this movie called The Beaver, which nobody saw, that Jodie Foster directed a couple years ago. But yeah, he's just... And his most recent movie, I think, is called Get the Gringo, which you probably might have seen, like, in Redbox or something. It was, like, a direct-to-VOD thing from last year or the year before. So
now
Mel Gibson,
his racial rants are making it into the movie titles now, too.
Mel Gibson needs some help if he's gonna, like, revitalize his image. So I'm guessing he's just trying to take whatever offers come his way at this point. And I don't know. I mean, I think... He certainly, you know, all of the hateful things he said aside, I wish he hadn't have said any of that stuff. But if he hadn't have done any of that, I think we would be a lot more excited about this. Like, oh, man, Mel Gibson, that's another one of those kind of, you know, late 80s, early 90s action hero guys that kind of fits well in the mold of the Expendables.
Aren't they doing a Mad Max remake?
They are, and Tom Hardy is going to be taking over for Mel Gibson's lead role in that. And I think that comes out in theaters in 2014, so...
But doesn't he play, like, the dad or something?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure if he has a cameo in that.
Matter Max?
but yeah, so there you go. Right. I mean, as you mentioned before, Van Damme did a really great job playing the villain.
I love Van Damme in that movie as well.
Yeah, so Gibson's got his work cut out for him if he's going to try to live up to that.
Now, here's a question for you, Ben.
Yes.
I did a very famous article, the top 10 Van Damme movies,
and I
teased that Expendables 2 might make it into the top 10 Van Damme films after the movie came out. I don't agree that it made it into the top 10, maybe 11.
Really?
Time Cop. Is Time Cop in there? Yeah, it was. But do you think it should make it into the top 10?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Unequivocally, yes.
All
Are
right.
you serious? We're talking about Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He was pretty cool in it, but the only reason why I didn't put it in the top 10 was because he wasn't like... It didn't say Jean-Claude Van Damme above the title Expendables. Like, that list, I think, is reserved for Van Damme, like, centered movies. But I guess, I don't know, it's hard. I'll have to go rewatch it and see if I can't push out like Cyborg or something.
Man, I...
Cyborg's not on the list, by the way.
Yeah, that one was really, really bad. You have stringent recommendations for, or requirements, rather, for a movie making it into the top 10 Van Damme movies list. Like, he wasn't the hero of Expendables 2, but he had a large role. I mean, he was the main bad guy.
Well, that's why I bring it up for discussion. You know, I'm still thinking about it. Now, if it were twin Van Dammes as villains Expendables 2.
Let me interrupt you because this thought is too awesome to wait for you to finish your sentence. How amazing would it be if Van Damme's twin brother is the villain in Expendables 3?
Ben, please find the address of wherever the Expendables is being filmed, because I need to arrive there with you immediately to suggest this to Stallone.
Yeah, man, that would be so awesome.
We'll bring Stan Bush along too, just so we can Stan Bush and his keyboard, so we can hammer out the Van Damme's twin brother theme on the way there.
There you go.
That's a great idea. I'm glad I brought that up. Now we've solved that. We've solved that dilemma.
Yep. There we go.
There you go. Expendables 3. Van Damme's brother returns.
Yep.
Spoiler alert! It's Van Damme.
Yeah, it's just. Do you remember in Beer Fest how Kevin Heffernan's character was?
Hey, can you guys call him a dump truck for old time's sake?
Oh man, people should watch Beer Fest to get that joke, because
was it dump truck or landfill? I can't remember what it
was. Landfill.
That's it. Dump truck.
Oh man, good stuff. That's all right, so the next item I have on the list here is a Fables movie is finally moving forward. I don't know if you heard about this.
It's called Once Upon a Time.
No, actually, which, I mean, I feel like people who've been listening to us podcast for long enough probably know our feelings about this, but I think we have some new listeners at this point, so we should kind of run down our history with Fables and, like, reading the comics and stuff and, like, what we think about Once Upon a Time and what do you think about this new movie adaptation coming forward? What do you think, Tyler?
Well, Once Upon a Time, I still watch, going through season 2 now. It's a little different. A lot different, actually, just the same kind of, I don't know, story elements, maybe. Like, one of the episodes I watched recently was them going into a beanstalk, and as we know from Fables, a beanstalk is a way to traverse between worlds. And I think they were trying to explain that the beanstalk in Once Upon a Time also does the same thing.
Wow.
So there's a lot of similarities, but as we've talked about before, Bill Willingham wrote an article that basically said, hey, you know, these stories have been told before. When I started writing Fables, I was taking from things, and so when Once Upon a Time's made and taking from Fables, you know, it's just we're all kind of sharing the same story elements, basically. But I think Fables is a little more, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's like Game of Thrones, but it needs that kind of treatment, because it's violent, it's kind of sexualized, it's you know, very adult. I think Once Upon a Time is very family friendly.
Yeah.
I think Fables, it would be, I don't know why they'd make a movie about it, because it's so long a series. I don't think even 3 movies would do it justice. But I think it's something that could be interesting.
Yeah, and we should mention, for those of you who have no idea what Fables is, it's basically a comic series that's been running since 2002 that kind of supposes what would happen if famous fairy tale characters came from their world, were exiled from their world and lived among humans in New York City. That's kind of like the very, very basic plot synopsis, I guess, or just the premise, rather. It's interesting. Tyler seems to have more of a kind of forgiving attitude towards Once Upon a Time, which is the show on ABC that essentially does kind of the same thing. I mean, it's a little bit different.
But... the witches are so hot on that show.
But I watched the pilot for Once Upon a Time, and then I couldn't do it anymore because it was so close to Fables, and because, like, I just feel like it's betraying Fables, because I know for a fact that ABC had a Fables television show in development before Once Upon a Time came along, before that was even pitched to them as a concept, and they ended up passing on the Fables show and going with Once Upon a Time instead, which is just like, the whole thing just, it seems like ABC was just trying to capitalize on a great idea that Willingham had, and and without paying him any money for it, basically. And yes, Willingham wrote that article that basically, you know, kind of forgave ABC for doing that. But I think that was like a PR move on his part, so he didn't come across as like a bitter guy about it. I think he's probably seething every time he sees that show up on his DVR or whatever, you know, on his TV.
Do you think he records it?
No.
It's on his DVR, like every episode.
He DVRs it just to seethe and then deletes it.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of Disney elements in it too, and as we know, ABC's owned by Disney, so I think it's influenced a lot from that. Because like Captain Hook is on there now, and Mulan. Mm-hmm. Aurora, I believe, is in there. So they're drawing from not just fables, I think, but everything.
Yeah, and I think Tyler brought up a good point, you know, when you said that it probably shouldn't just be one movie. I mean, it's the same kind of thing as Why the Last Man and Preacher. If you're going to adapt those, they really are better suited for long-form TV, you know, like a series on HBO or something, where you have, you know, 10 episodes to, you know, 10 hours to tell the story instead of just two, especially for something like Fables, which has been going on for over 10 years at this point. It's like there's so much story in there. Even if you just pull the best elements, there's no way that you could get all of them in a trilogy even. But I mean, hopefully that's if they're going to do it, they're probably going to try for a trilogy, I would assume. So maybe it'll be good. I mean, I'll be happier to watch a Fables movie than I would be to watch Once Upon a Time on ABC. So,
you know, they made a trilogy of films in Fables, Jack the Giant Killer.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a movie recently, Jack the Giant Slayer.
Yep.
It was originally called Jack the Giant Killer, but they renamed it for kiddies.
Yeah.
And there's a spinoff of Once Upon a Time called Once Upon a Time in Wonderland.
Yes.
So things are blowing up for the fairy tale community.
Yeah, and that's been going on for a long time, ever since the Alice in Wonderland movie made, you know, $1 billion at the box office in 2009, so.
But then, like, King's Quest games were doing it back in the 80s and 90s, where they would, like, work in elements of fairy tales into the greater storyline.
Mm-hmm.
They eventually established that the fairy tale creatures in the King's Quest games actually crossed over from our world into the King's Quest universe. And so that's why in the King's Quest games you would see familiar, like you would see Dracula and you would see like Cinderella and things like that, is because they went from our universe to another one. So I always thought it's always world jumping with these people.
Yeah.
It can't be like a natural, it's always going to be like, I come from a different universe. Like, aw, why isn't our universe special?
Bring some heavy drama into it, I guess. It just makes it more interesting. All right, so yeah, that's Fables. The guy who directed a movie called A Royal Affair, he's a Danish director named Nikolaj Arcel, is going to be directing this movie. And
it's a good mob name.
Jeremy Slater, who wrote the upcoming reboot for the Fantastic Four, is going to be writing the script for the Fables movie. So it's going to be produced by David Heyman, who did the Harry Potter movies. So, I mean, at least there's that. He's got some experience in that kind of genre, I guess. So
just working on Emma Watson, I'll be happy.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Oh, that would be actually good casting. Maybe like Rose Red or something could be Emma Watson. Yeah.
Whatever, as long as she's on screen.
There you go. All right, and then the other news item, the last news item I wanted to talk about before we jump into a couple like mini reviews of a few recent releases is that Leonardo DiCaprio apparently is going to be, he's in talks to star in a Rasputin movie.
Finally.
The Russian mystic who became
the guy who killed the royal family or something.
The Romanovs, yeah, exactly. What the hell is going on here? Like, there's apparently enough interest to
well,
get
he's played J. Edgar, so the natural transition is to Rasputin, the the Russian witch doctor or whatever he was.
I don't understand. I mean, first of all, there's just so much about this that boggles my mind.
Maybe he'll play Nicholas. Maybe he's not going to play Rasputin.
I believe he is attached in the role of Rasputin.
Oh, God.
Which
the great Rasputin.
Yeah, and my, there's... I used to write at firstshowing.net, and my buddy Alex over there, who was on the Not Just New Movies podcast, to talk about Double Dragon with us back
Alex
in
Billington?
Yeah, yeah.
He was on the podcast?
Yeah, he was. Well, for one episode.
We wish him luck to all our guests.
He says in his post about it at firstshowing.net that DiCaprio is like ideal when he has a feeling that it seems like a perfect fit for the cast. And I'm just like, what? It seems totally out of left field. DiCaprio, I don't think to my knowledge, has never done a Russian accent in his life. And Rasputin is like a ridiculous, I mean, yes, he's a real historical figure, and DiCaprio, I guess, loves doing that kind of stuff if you look at his filmography, but it just seems really weird that this is happening.
Yeah, that does sound very odd.
It's like Rasputin is such a ridiculous character, a historical figure too, because it's like, you know, he's listed as a Russian mystic. He's known as this mystic. What does that even mean? Like,
he was like, I think, if correct me if I'm wrong, from the Wikipedia page you're probably reading right now.
No, I'm not, but I'll pull it up.
Okay. But there was the royal family of Russia, circa, I don't know, late 1800s, early 1900s. There was Nicholas, and then there was his wife, and I think the wife went and saw Rasputin. He was like an advisor or some type of psychic or something.
Yeah, it says she was a healer for their only son who suffered from hemophilia. So.
Is that... Oh, hemophilia?
Hemophilia, yes.
I don't know why I thought necrophilia, but it sounds similar. But yeah, he was like a... And then legend has it, although this might be proven by now, that he killed them because their bones were found out in the forest.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about that. I'm too lazy to look.
And then they made the Anastasia movie.
Right, and that's the only way that I really know of, I mean, aside from like a glossing over in like a world history class or something. That's the only way. That's my most familiar... I guess incarnation of Rasputin was, what was it, Christopher Lloyd that did the voice of Rasputin in the Anastasia animated movie. Yeah.
Anastasia!
So,
I'm gonna take you back to
anyway,
the
it just, it boggles my mind that DiCaprio, first of all, is interested enough. This is like some sort of thing that he's like, oh yeah, we definitely need a Rasputin biopic at this point. It's just, I don't know, it's very, very
well,
odd.
We'll bring him on to After Midnight and see what he has to say about it.
Yeah, I guess. And also, like, oh, Rasputin, he died in 1916, so he's going to be pretty tough to find. But, I mean, just the concept of a mystic, like, I don't know what that means, really, in real life. Because, I mean, you know, you always hear about various forms of fiction, sorcerers and wizards and things like that, and you know, most of these kinds of people exist in the same world as dragons and things that we know aren't actually real. But then when you hear about the historical figures who are known as mystics, it's like, what, you know, we know that magic, like real magic, doesn't exist, so it's all misdirection and you know, just like nothing, like what is, I don't know, I guess what I want to know
he's like a magician.
Yeah, it's like, what kind of tricks did Rasputin do back in the day to convince people to refer to him as a mystic? That's what, and maybe this movie will show that. I don't know.
He probably has like magic spells that don't work, but nobody knew if they worked or not. And he would probably like curse and hex people. Nobody knew if that was real. Everyone was dumb back then.
Yeah,
they just said, "Oh, look, you have powder that makes us feel better. It's opium. You must be a mystic."
Yeah, maybe. That's probably what it was.
And I would have made tons of money back then.
All right, so that's coming
connected
up.
To the opium trade is what I'm getting at, Ben.
Yep.
Do you need any?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm all right.
All right, good.
I've got a pile of it on this desk right now.
Oh,
so.
God, Scarface style.
All right, so two movies that I think we should talk about briefly that have come out in, over the past month or so that we haven't had the chance to catch up.
I may have seen them.
I believe you've seen them. Star Trek Into Darkness is one of them.
Yes. Yes, I have seen that.
So I'm interested in hearing what you have to say about this movie, because people can go to notjustnewmovies.com and find our kind of series review, I guess, like the original series review movies of the movies that Kirk and like the Kirk films. Tyler and I did a kind
of a Shatner
review.
Films.
Yeah, right. The Shatner ones. Tyler and I did like a review omnibus a few years ago and went back through and watched all of those and reviewed all of those movies. Yeah, I'm just interested. What did you think about Star Trek Into Darkness?
Well, Ben, did you check out my little comic strip called Star Trek Into Derpness?
I did on thesolarsentinel.blogspot.com.
It was a good adventure. I think it was a good movie for people, for this new generation who hasn't seen any of the old Star Trek movies. So I can't really fault it for that.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, everybody's too old or dead to be in, like, the Kirk roles or the McCoy roles anymore. But, again, I think you've heard my thoughts on reworking old movies. If you're going to reboot something, like, do new stuff. And I think with at least the first Star Trek, Abrams Star Trek, he actually had a new villain, like that Romulan. His name was started with an N.
Nero.
Nero. At least that was like an original character. But then they bring Khan in the second movie, which they'd already
Spoiler
done.
Spoiler alert.
Khan. And it's like the same... Abrams wanted to create his own universe, but then he does the same things that have happened in the old universe. Like, do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, just like in the old Star Trek universe, Khan and his superhuman team were frozen and then sent off into space and then reanimated or whatever by the Shatner crew.
Right.
And then the same thing happens in this movie, except there's slight differences. And what's her name? Alice Eve in her underwear, which was... I don't care what people complain about. That was awesome. What's up, Alice Eve?
Nice.
Follow me on Twitter, at After Midnight. Actually, no, that's not right. But yeah, I thought it was a... Like, if I had never seen any of the old Star Trek movies,
yeah,
I would have really liked it. But because I kind of know the old Star Trek movies, I don't think it won me over as much. And mm-hmm. and there's also not, as we've talked about with the 2009 one, there wasn't that philosophical big question that was asked.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of an action movie.
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel like I try not to rag on Abrams too much because everybody loves him, but I feel like he's just like rehashing a lot of stuff. And a recent movie I really liked was that Super 8,
mm-hmm.
but there were a lot of elements of E.T. in it. And so I'm just... hope, because I know he's doing Star Wars next, which is really going to bug me. But I'm just hoping that he has something up his sleeve that will surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the reason why he's doing so well is because he is rehashing things, and he's rehashing things that worked really well the first time. I mean, Spielberg is obviously a huge influence on him, and he's a really good... He does a really good job of kind of aping the best... or some of the best elements of Spielberg's movies, the pacing, the adventure, the sense of excitement, and just kind of, you know, taking you on a ride when you go see a movie. That I think is some of the best, those are some of the best elements of Spielberg's films. So I think that's part of the reason why he probably got the Star Wars gig is because, like, oh, you know, this guy, he grew up on this stuff, like, he's super passionate about it, and... yeah, maybe he can give us something that approximates what happened in the first trilogy, you know, just with a new story. But maybe he can approximate the feeling that people got in the first with the first trilogy.
I want that feeling back so bad, Ben. But about Star Trek, what do you think?
I really liked Star Trek Into Darkness. I thought Benedict Cumberbatch was great. What did you think about him as Khan?
Yeah, he's okay.
Okay? Oh, man. Have you seen Sherlock, the BBC show?
No.
Oh, please watch it, dude. You'll really, really like it. It's so good.
I was talking to my sister about it, and I was like, does he solve all these crimes just accessing his cell phone, like just Googling stuff as part of the problem-solving process?
No, not really. I mean, there is a small technology element into it. Like, Watson keeps a blog, and that's how...
Oh boy.
They kind of become famous, but no, trust me, it's not cheesy in any way. It's really, really well done.
I really like the Robert Downey Jr. movie, so yeah, I'll see where that goes first.
I think if you like those movies, you'll also like the series. Like, that dynamic between Watson and Holmes is really awesome, and it's you know, maybe even better in the Sherlock BBC series. But anyway, I thought Cumberbatch was great. I thought the action was awesome. The visual effects were amazing. The cast was really good this time around, you know, same as the first time. And I thought this was more of the Star Trek, Abrams 2009 movie was more of a, a Spock movie almost. You know, it was about, it was basically about him. His home planet's destroyed. His mother's killed in front of him. Nimoy, you know, you got the old and new Spock coming in there. And this one was more of a Kirk movie, which, you know, it did a lot of the similar things that the first one did, where it kind of traced him from this cocky soldier into like a real leader and, you know, somebody willing to sacrifice himself for his crew. And I think the reversals that they did with what happened in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, the reversals, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like the hand on the glass and like the, yeah, the plot elements that they directly lifted from that movie, but just switched Kirk and Spock's role. I thought it worked really well. Like thematically, it made sense in these movies. So
I went and watched Wrath of Khan the same day. I went and saw Into Darkness, and I was so kind of disgruntled. I was like, let me go see how many similarities there were. Oh, so I watched Wrath of Khan right afterwards.
And how many were there? Was it like half the movie?
I thought so initially, but then after watching Wrath of Khan, there are a lot of elements that... Wrath of Khan had so much history behind it, because you had like the episode where Khan first appeared, and so he had been on that planet for however long, like pissed off at Kirk. So there was this whole Khan-Kirk thing, mostly Khan mad at Kirk, Kirk not remembering Khan.
Right.
You forgot about us! So there was that. And actually, Khan and Kirk never met in the movie, which I think is one of the trivia moments.
Mm.
They only met via talking screen.
Nice.
And then, of course, there was like that ongoing friendship between McCoy, Spock, and Kirk.
Yeah.
Which I think there wasn't any McCoy in Into Darkness, which I was really... Because I think McCoy is my favorite character in the series, and they just won't use him at all, even though he's like... He's funny, he's quick, he knows a lot of stuff, he's real smart, but they're like, eh, just Kirk, throw some punches, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they really need to work on the triumvirate. Like, it feels like more, Abrams' Star Trek is more centered on the bromance, sort of, between Kirk and Spock, and McCoy is just, like, a secondary character along with the rest of the cast. But I think McCoy deserves to be up there with Kirk and Spock, you know what I mean? Like, that's how the older movies functioned. It was like the trio. It was like they all bounced off of each other. It wasn't just Kirk and Spock on level one and McCoy on level two kind of thing.
Well, I think they replaced McCoy with Uhura. I think that's the new triangle.
Yeah.
I think the next movie is going to be like Uhura and Kirk kind of like each other, and Spock and Uhura are like still dating, but then, Jerry Springer in space.
Well, they're bringing Alice Eve onto the, you know, into the fold. So
Ben, her in her underwear, man. The trailer could have just been like that 3 seconds, and I would have still seen it.
Well, that definitely would have made you want to see it.
Should have been like, turn around and be like, where do I give my money to?
With no other context, you would have thought, oh my god, this is the entire movie. This is going to be great.
Yep.
All right, so that's Star Trek Into Darkness, and then finally, let's.
I liked it. Talk let me just say that real quick.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Yeah, I had fun with it. I thought it was good.
Not as good as Wrath of Khan, but
okay,
good enough. There weren't as many elements as I thought. Being just the Khan story, I think.
Yeah,
was what I was kind of upset about.
And Quinto's Khan yell.
Oh, that was awful. Yeah, and old Spock getting Skyped by new Spock should not have happened.
I agree. I totally agree.
Because, okay, we're in this new universe where anything can happen. Wait, let's go refer back to that old universe again.
Where some things happened that totally don't happen in our universe. All right, so Fast and Furious 6, let's chat about this just for a second before we sign off here. I loved Fast 5. It was one of my favorite movies of 2011. Like, totally serious, not even ironically.
It's been 2 years since Fast 5 came out?
Yeah. I loved certain elements of Fast and Furious 6. I did not like it as much as Fast 5. What did you think?
I remember liking Fast 5. I really like Fast and Furious 6, too. Which is not the sequel, Fast and Furious 6-2. It's just Fast and Furious 6. But
62.
I thought all the characters, they eliminated a lot of the kind of the fat, like those two Mexican guys or whatever, wherever they're from, racist, they were gone, and like all the characters.
I want to say they were Brazilian, but okay.
Yeah, whatever. All the characters that had like something to add to the story were there, because Hobbs is, he's in it. Like, he should be in every movie from now on.
Yes.
I can't remember who was talking about it, but oh yeah, it was the How Did This Get Made crew. The guy, what's his name? He plays Rafi on The League.
Jason Mantzoukas.
He's like, why is Paul Walker's girlfriend still in these movies? Like, someone just needs to shoot her in the head. Yeah. She doesn't need to be here anymore. Like, save the baby. The baby can live. Like, that's Mantzoukas's explanation.
Yeah.
But she was hardly in the movie, so I don't think she, except at the very end.
Right.
Which, again, they were going to go do their thing anyway. She just happened to be there.
Yeah.
But I thought, I thought the story was okay, considering it's a sixth installment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's what they need to do, I think, is just, I mean, the Japanese guy's gone. We all know that. He dies.
Han, yeah. He dies in Tokyo Drift.
Right, by, you know. And I think it's developing in a, it's almost like an Ocean's 11 movie, where if you just kind of get the right people in it,
yeah,
it's gonna work. So I think I can't remember Fast Five too well, but I don't want to. I can't compare them because I haven't seen Fast Five in a while. You know.
Yeah, the thing about Fast Five that I loved was, you know, Fast and Furious, which was the fourth movie. And can we talk about how awesome the titling is in this franchise? Like, there's no consistency to it. It makes zero sense whatsoever.
I think at one point at the beginning of the credits, it said Furious 6.
Right, and that's that. There's this thing where the director, Justin Lin, always envisioned it to be Fast 5 and Furious 6, but the studio couldn't market it as just Furious 6 because they were afraid of people, of like reporters and, you know, like newscasters and stuff saying Furious Sex or something, or like that was one explanation I saw, or just like without the word fast in the title, like people might not,
more explanation.
People not, might not know that it's part of the same franchise or something. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, the title on the screen is just Furious 6. And Justin Lin said it's because it's supposed to be the end of a trilogy that started with Fast and Furious.
Right.
So Fast and Furious, Fast 5, Furious 6 is like a cohesive unit. But yeah, Justin Lin has done a really great job with this and kind of bringing it back from obscurity, because this movie was, this franchise was just like languishing. And then Tokyo Drift kind of revitalized it and did surprisingly well. And then they just, yeah, like you said, kind of brought back the people that matter. And
wait, Tokyo Drift was the one that brought the series back?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Wow. Didn't see that coming.
Too Fast, Too Furious was like a bomb. It did really bad. And
I kind
it was
of enjoyed
an awful,
one.
Awful movie. But
I kind of like you put Ludacris in anything, I'm going to watch it.
Moments. But anyway, yeah, I think the thing about it is, like, Fast and Furious did the whole, like, bring the team back together and like, was kind of a setup. And then Fast 5, just with the addition of The Rock and everything that they did in that movie, just, like, took things to an insane level. Like, up until that point, everybody was living in a world that where, like, physics mattered for the most part. And, like, it was, like, a real – they were, like, real people – to some degree, and then Fast Five, they just suddenly turned into superheroes, basically.
Yeah.
Which I'm totally okay with, and I thought it was fantastic. And now in Fast and Furious 6, it's like they felt like they needed to top everything that happened in Fast Five, and it just felt a little forced to me. Like the spectacle is there and it's great, but it just kind of lost that, like, oh my God feeling. Like, there's something about seeing it for the first time in Fast Five, like, oh my God, this franchise is doing this now. And then, you know, going into Fast and Furious 6, when you, you know, off the high of Fast Five, like knowing what came before, it's like, okay, how are they going to top this? And it's like, maybe they didn't need to try to top it. And I hope that with the new director, James Wan, who directed the first Saw film, he's coming in to direct Fast 7,
oh,
which actually is going to be out in theaters at probably, I think, like this time or maybe July of next year. So they're like super rushing that one. So there's only 1 year in between.
It's the way it should be.
Yeah, I agree. I hope he kind of tones it down a little bit, because what are you going to do to top Fast and Furious 6? Like, they brought down a freaking jet in this one. It's like, what? I don't know.
There was a fake trailer on Film Drunk.
I saw that.
Fast and Furious in space or something.
Yes, it was fantastic.
They send this team up, and I think they get like another team. I can't remember the movie that they
It's like a crossover with like G.I. Joe and Armageddon and stuff, because Bruce Willis gets involved.
Yeah.
It's really great.
And he plays the Rock's entrance music, and Hobbs just shows up.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think the stunts and everything in Fast and Furious 6 are really good. The story was fine. I enjoyed it. You know, bringing Letty back, like, I'm kind of with the guys and on the How Did This Get Made podcast, when they're just like, I could have taken or left that. Like, I don't give a crap about Letty. Michelle Rodriguez is like, whatever, I don't care.
Did you hear that episode?
Yeah, I listened to it.
Okay, because I liked their point about, spoiler alert, like, at the very end, they're all hoping that, like, well, they're sitting around the table barbecuing at the house back in New York or Los Angeles or wherever. Los Angeles.
L.A., yeah.
And he's like, do you remember any of this? And she's like, no. And they're like, what, this whole movie? She still doesn't ever remember. Like, most of the time in amnesia situations, whether you're a 20-minute sitcom or a movie, the person with amnesia gets their memory back.
Right.
Like, something happens where it just it comes back.
But maybe
Furious 6? Nope.
Yeah, and maybe they're doing that so Letty can still be a villain, like, so she can, you know, without memory, she can be easily swayed to go back to the dark side or something.
Maybe she's been faking it the whole time. Maybe she's been evil all along.
Possibly.
Waiting for this moment.
I wouldn't kill Toretto. I wouldn't put that past this series, that kind of, like, seeding and like, long con kind of payoff.
The long con.
You know what I mean?
I love that phrase.
Me too.
You're pulling the long con. Damn it, we're doing it live.
Because the thing that is so awesome about this series is when you meet Han in Tokyo Drift, he's this kind of disaffected, like, he's got a ton of money. He uses cars as I think he gives a car to Lucas Black's character at one point.
But he uses them as business cards.
Yeah, kind of. Exactly. And he gives it to him and Lucas Black crashes it. And Han's like, yeah, I don't care. I don't give a shit. But because he has so much money from the movie, from Fast Five and Furious Six, you know, like the heist score and stuff, because all those movies took place before Tokyo Drift. And also the reason Han is so kind of not
spoiler
aloof,
alert.
Right. He's not so not aloof, but like
disinterested.
Disinterested and like unemotional is because Giselle dies in Fast and Furious 6. And like, that's his girl, you know, like they've spent a couple movies to three movies at this point building up their relationship. And then she dies on the runway in Fast and Furious 6, and then we go see Han. And like, now, the events of Tokyo Drift happen right after that. It's really weird the way that the series has orchestrated itself, because it's like the order is the Fast and the Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious, Fast and Furious,
Fast Five, Furious Six.
Fast and Furious 6 up to the end of the movie, and then Tokyo Drift, and then the very end of Fast and Furious 6 again. You know what I mean? Like, when they kind of unveil, or I guess that's running parallel at that point, because it is revealed that dun-dun-dun, Jason Statham is going to be the villain in the new one, and he's the brother of the Luke Evans Owen Shaw character that is the villain in Fast and Furious 6. So,
oh, I was wondering who he was.
Yeah, he's pissed that they killed Shaw or got him in jail. I don't remember exactly what happened.
Mancuskas wanted it to be the Transporter. Or no, Chev Chelios. Chelios, is that Transporter?
Crank.
Or is it Crank? Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember who Chev. I thought Chev Chell. What's his name in Transporter?
Frank Martin.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah.
Is there? Wait, did Transporter 3 wasn't any good, right? Was that the
Transporter
bad one?
Transporter 3 was the worst of the series by far.
Oh,
so
they're not making another one of this?
Not that I know of.
Unless
the
it's
only good
Transporter and Furious 7.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway,
Transporters.
I think... Love it, love it. But yeah, anyway, I think that kind of covers our feelings on Fast and Furious 6. I mean, I enjoyed it. It wasn't quite as like awe-inspiring as Fast 5, but I'm very, very excited to see where it goes in the future. I'm really stoked to see what Statham can bring, and having everybody plus Statham should just be really, really enjoyable.
Yes. I agree. Can't wait.
Cool. All right. Well,
July 2014.
Yeah, I think so.
We can go see it as part of our high school reunion.
Awesome.
Went and saw The Internship last night.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was, as I described it on Facebook, quaint with a heartwarming message, although there could have been more Google references.
From what I've heard, it's like a two-hour commercial for Google.
Basically. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think Vince Vaughn drinks a Miller Lite at one point, labeled towards the camera.
Product placement, baby.
Yeah, making those dollars. No, but I thought it wasn't as outrageous as like Wedding Crashers, but I don't think it has to be. I think Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn have a chemistry about them that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think they're friends in real life. I like movies that involve people that are friends in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a good movie. Go check it out.
All right.
Have you seen it, Ben?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, check it out, man.
Not seen it. And I guess if we're giving shout-outs to movies that people should go see, I should recommend checking out The Kings of Summer, which is a smaller independent film played at Sundance earlier this year. I really loved it, and they've quoted me in the marketing and stuff, so that's kind of cool.
Starring The Kings of Leon?
No. Thank God, no. It's got a great cast. Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally and Alison Brie have small roles in it. But yeah, it's really, really good.
When's Alison Brie coming on the show?
I don't know. We'll have to work on
soon?
That.
Soon? Okay. If you're quoted in the trailer, I mean, that's just a phone call away by at that point.
I refuse to try to contact her on Twitter again because we probably happened with that last time. So I'll leave that to you.
That was funny.
Future interest.
That wasn't me. That was Vince that called you out.
No, I know.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you said I said something because that
no,
was...
No, no, no. I'm just not going to open myself up to that again.
I merely laughed at you. I didn't embarrass you.
Of course.
So, Ben, you're the new editor at GeekNation.com. Is that where people can find most of your news articles and movie reviews?
Yes, sir. And they can find all of my reviews, as always, at NotJustNewMovies.com. You guys can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/BenPears.
And that Not Just New Movies podcast, the old archives there at notjustnewmovies.com, as always.
Yep.
So thanks, Ben, for joining me.
Absolutely.
Leave your comments or questions in the comments section where they belong. And the next time you want your helping of movie news, why don't you stay up late with us on NJNM After Midnight. Same journeys.
Later on.